Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. Hello and welcome back to the show. This is episode 632, and I am really excited to have my new friend Bill DeLisi here. Bill is the Chief Executive Officer, Chief Technology Officer, and a founding member of the Board of Directors of GoFPA Inc., a secure search engine and communication platform. Bill has over 30 years of experience in the computer and cybersecurity industries. He's worked closely with leaders in the technology space and has over 30 certifications, including those with Microsoft, Cisco, and Apple. Welcome, Bill. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Erin. It's great to be here.
So I can imagine that my listeners might have heard your introduction and be wondering, What does this have to do with parenting? So can you explain to them why I thought it would be a very cool idea to have this conversation today?
Well, I believe that you thought that this would be a great conversation because I know a lot about the internet. Mm-hmm. I know a lot about security, and I know how things online can be different than the way they look. And so we'll get into that in a little bit. But also, GoFPA was created because a friend of ours, my wife and I, created GoFPA. She's the brains behind the outfit. I'm the brawn. I handle the machine. She handles everything else, pretty much.
Nice.
And so one of our friend's kids was doing a report for school, and they were doing it on the White House. And so immediately the kid jumps on the computer and goes to whitehouse.com. And if you know what that, what it took them to, it took them to a pornography site. And because whitehouse.gov is the correct URL. And so this child was only 7 years old and was exposed to this. And of course, the parents weren't right there to stop it. So this is the main reason why my wife said, honey, we need to get out of retirement, because we had retired back then, and we need to start something to help these kids. And so this is how GoFPA started. And then it just morphed into something that kids use it, families use it, high schools, colleges, universities, businesses, government offices, and now countries like the Middle East and Asia use it. So it's morphed into something pretty big.
That is incredible. So tell me, if that friend's child had been 7 years old today and doing a report on the White House and went to whitehouse.com through GoFPA, what would have happened?
You know, that's a great question. GoFPA is right now mainly a search engine and a secure communication site. The problem that everybody has is there's only four main browsers. There's Internet Explorer, there's Mozilla, there's Chrome, and there's Safari with Mac. All of these browsers will take you anywhere you want to go. So you can go to GoFPA, but you can also go anywhere else. That's the problem. So what we're doing at GoFPA is we're creating our own browser, which will be out soon. And this will be the fifth browser in the world. But this browser will protect people. This will keep people from going to sites like whitehouse.com. And the greatest children's protection packages online don't help you if you go through a proxy server or VPN, which all these kids know about. They know how to get around these safeguards. And so that's why they don't work. And so this is why we're building. We've spent millions and millions of dollars to build this browser because we think it's important to secure people online. And so that's what we're doing.
Well, that's beautiful. Do you have any idea yet when this fifth browser will be available for families anyone?
It will be available next year. And exciting. So it takes generally, just for an example, Mozilla Firefox, which I'm sure you're aware, that cost over $400 million to build. Wow. And it took 7 years.
Whoa.
So it's not cheap to do something like this. And that's why you only have four browsers. Right. And so this is why it's taken us so long. We've been working on this since 2010.
Wow.
So 11 years we've been working on this.
Wow. That is a labor of love to keep people safe online.
Yep.
And it's exciting that it's getting so close to being born into the world.
Yes, it is. And we believe that once we have this browser, that everyone will use it. And even countries in the Middle East and Asia will use it because their firewalls don't work. For example, China built, they built the Green Wall, or I forget what it was called. They called it the wall, but they spent $4 billion on this firewall. Wow. To try to secure their people, to try to get them to see what they wanted to see and not see what they don't want to see. And it still doesn't work because they can still use proxy servers, anonymous browsers, and other things to get around these walls that they built, these firewalls.
Wow. The internet is a strange place, isn't it?
It's a great place and it's a horrible place. It's got the best of everything that you can imagine and the worst that you can't even imagine.
You know, it kind of reminds me of life. It's like a digital version of life, because if you think about it, you can think of the most god-awful stories that you have ever heard in your life. And then you can think of the most wonderful, heartwarming, amazing stories you've ever heard. So I guess the internet isn't much different.
That's a great analogy. No, you're right. And that's a great analogy.
But I think the difference for this is that, you know, if we think of a war-torn country where it's dangerous to walk down the street because there might be, you know, suicide car bombers or who knows what going on, we wouldn't take our children there and then just drop them off on the sidewalk and just go have lunch and let them wander around this war-torn area. But letting them get onto a computer or a phone or a TV, for goodness sakes, because everything can access the internet, it seems nowadays, it's not much different if we let our children get online and just do whatever, go wherever, and we're not supervising them, because it's no different than plunking them down in a war-torn area. It's dangerous.
I could not have said it any better. You're absolutely correct. And if the parents look at the internet that way, as going to a third world country and dropping their kids off in the middle of this horrible area, which there's some beautiful stuff there too, just like
absolutely.
The internet.
Absolutely.
They're in danger. And if you allow them to be exposed, then they're in danger. And so that's a great way to look at it.
And so what can parents do? Because, you know, like I was saying before we hit record today, I want our conversation to help reinforce how important it is for parents to keep their kids safe when they're online accessing the internet, but I don't want to scare them to being petrified to do anything or, you know, take away all access to the internet until their child is 21. Like, so how can they?
Yeah. First of all, that third world analogy is not going to make them feel any better. So, but it was very effective and very good. I think the most important thing is to be there. Mm-hmm. I know that parents are busy. They have, they have everything pulling them away from their child in this world. And, a lot of parents both work. But I think the most important thing is when your child is online or on a computer, on their phone, because a lot of kids have phones, you have to be there. You have to be mm-hmm. present. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most important thing. Also be open, talk about it. Talk Absolutely. About these things that happen with these kids, with, these things that happen to people. And, one of the things that I have to make sure that my grandkids know is that, you have to be so careful because not everything is the way it looks. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times you see what is in front of you. Just for example, you see like a picture and that picture looks like a butterfly. But if you look really closely, it's like two dogs, the pictures can look different. They can morph together, mm-hmm. but that's the same way as the internet. The internet can look so wonderful, but it's like somebody's hiding behind there, getting ready to jump on you. And, mm-hmm. and that's, another thing I think is to set limits. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that, we have time with our children, but set limits. Just for example, kids are online today, maybe 5, 6, 7 hours a day, some of them even more. I know that parents are, online quite a bit as well, but the kids, limit them to an hour, 2 hours at the most, because this is something that molds them. This is as much parenting as you can do. As good as you are, the internet is going to mold your children. They're going to create what they want your children to be. Mm-hmm. And so if you allow them to be on that platform, that molding clay type platform, they're going to be different. They're going to be molded into what the internet wants them to be. And that's not good.
Agreed.
Also, one more thing. I think that parents need to use software. There's a lot of software available today. And we know that the smart kids can get around it. They're smarter than I am, a lot of them, that they've been on computers all their lives,
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain things that you can do. And don't think that you don't want to be, invading their privacy. I'm trying to find the right words, but a lot of parents think, well, I don't want to invade their privacy. Well, you know what? They're kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they're susceptible to the dangers of the internet. So this is not invading their privacy. This is protecting them. So that's the way you want to look at it.
Well, that privacy topic is interesting. One of the things that I did when my kids, when each of them started getting phones, we told them that the phone that we were giving each of them, was property of ours. We own it, we bought it, we pay for it every month. So it belongs to us. And they are the authorized users of the phone. And we had many, many, many conversations, still do ongoing, about what is proper behavior online. What kind of words do we choose to use? Do we speak with profanity? Do we not? What kinds of websites do we go to? What kinds of pictures do we take? you know, it's not appropriate to take pictures of your friends unless they've given you permission, you know, all those kinds of basic conversations. But what we did tell them is that when we first gave them the phone, we kind of shared our expectations about how they would conduct themselves and acknowledging that everyone makes mistakes and we learn from our mistakes and we try to do better next time. But we said, initially, we will look at your phone every day if we want. And then if we're seeing things that are not appropriate, we will have conversations about it. And if we start seeing where you're making better choices, then maybe we'll go down to checking the phone a couple times a week. And then maybe we'll go down to once a week. And then maybe every few weeks and every couple of months. And we'll, as you show us that we can trust that you're making good decisions, then we will monitor you less. But if at any point along the way, something happens or we become aware of something or notice something in you that gives us cause for concern, then you will be required to hand us the phone immediately without, you know, going into the bathroom and deleting things or what have you. You have to give us it immediately and we will look through it. So our respecting of your privacy increases as we see that you're being more and more responsible as you're maturing and learning how to handle yourself. So that's kind of the message that we gave to our kids as we handed them these, you know, the keys to the world in their palm of their hands. And I think
drill it into them, man.
Yeah, you do.
You know, it goes in one ear and out the other so many times because they have so much on their mind and they have so many things they want to think and do. Mm-hmm. And also, you want to reward them for telling you that, oh, my friend tried to show me something online and I told them that that's not appropriate. Oh, yes. Well, you get rewarded for that because we can't control what other kids are going to show our children.
Nope.
And it's going to happen, you know, and they have, some of these kids have like no boundaries. And so once your children are exposed to that, you want them to be the leader and say, hey, you know, I don't want to see that. And think about, I can't wait to tell mom or dad this, you know? And so I think that's a really good way to look at it.
And one thing that I encourage parents to do is practice their poker face. I'll never forget that my older son, one of his friends was over one time and we were talking about things that happened or who did what or this or that. And he made a comment that he doesn't usually tell his mom anything because she freaks out whenever she finds stuff out. And I remember feeling really sad thinking, oh gosh, this boy doesn't have his mom doesn't feel like he has his mom as a support system because he doesn't want to hear her huge reaction to things. And so from that point forward, I thought, you know, we need to work on our poker face as parents. And so many times our kids will either do things where they're using poor judgment, making mistakes, making the wrong choice. All kids are going to do that to varying degrees of intensity. And their friends are going to do it and they're going to hear about things. And if we freak out, wow, I can't believe this. This is the worst thing ever. If we have that kind of a reaction, they're immediately going to go, I'm not telling you anything because I don't want to deal with this. And then we've lost that really open line of communication with them so that when their friend does show them something inappropriate, they're not going to run home and tell us that. So I think it's really important for parents to try to be as calm as they can, even if the thing that they're finding out or the thing the child is telling them is really upsetting, to just kind of take a deep breath and try to pull themselves together and maybe say, I'm going to have to think about that for a little while and get back to you or something like that. Or what did you think about that when your friend did that? Or how did you feel? Or how did you come up with the response that you did? You know, just trying to be curious and calm, because that encourages our kids to come and share these really uncomfortable things with us.
That is so true. And we we always have to realize that reaction is different than responsive.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a tendency to react, which uses your emotions, where responding uses your intellect.
I like that. So true, isn't it?
It's true. I'm guilty of it. You know, we're all guilty of it.
We all are.
And then, you know, when you're shocked, I love that poker face thought, because the parents can actually use that and think about the poker face when the kids tell them something crazy, right?
I think of Lady Gaga with her poker face song.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that's a good tool to have in a parent's back pocket so that their kids aren't resistant to telling them things.
Yes. And, you know, I think by being open with your children, you also have to lead by example, you know, because if you're going to some crazy sites and your kids are very observant and you know, they can sneak up behind you and stuff. And so you want to lead by example as well. It's easy for some of us. It's hard for others.
Mm-hmm. So true. We can absolutely lead by example, and we should lead by example. I think that this conversation about keeping kids safe online is just, it's just an evolving conversation that we have to keep having with our kids over and over, but we as adults have to keep having, because as you know, intimately, technology is changing faster than we can keep up with. So we might have a grip on how to keep our kids safe in version 2.0, but by the time we get to 3.0, there's all new things that we have to kind of figure out and understand and learn about. So I think it is important to have conversations with people like you who have this deep knowledge of technology and this expertise, because you can help the rest of us to kind of know the signs, know things to look for or things to be careful of or avoid or what have you. Because lay people like me, who are parents just trying to keep their kids safe, may not know all the latest things that we need to know about.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And there's so many new sites, social networks, children's sites
constantly
coming up.
Constantly.
And some of them are good. Some of them are not so good. You know, when YouTube first came out, I remember, you know, oh, this is so cool. But there's a lot of junk on YouTube. There's a lot of trash. There's garbage. There's some great things too, but when you let your kids just go berserk, you know, and watch any video they want, they're going to see some bad stuff. They're going to start to get molded, like I was talking about earlier. We don't want that. We want to keep our kids, you know, within our boundaries, the way we want them to grow up, and the foundations that we build in them, we want that to be important to them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, I think it is so important. I remember when my youngest teenager was probably 3 or 4, maybe, he was obsessed with trains, just loved them. Whenever we drove by one, he was just fascinated by them. And he somehow stumbled upon watching trains on YouTube. And there are gazillions of clips, you know, 20-second, 30-second clips of trains just chugging on down the line, pulling into a station, chugging away from the station, just infinite clips, harmless, you know, little clips of trains pulling into the station. And he loved to sit there and just watch the next one and the next one and the next one. And it was so enjoyable to him. And I remember my niece at the time was in her 20s, and she came in the door and he was sitting on the couch watching trains pull into the station, and she saw that he was on YouTube and she scolded me. She said, "You cannot let him watch YouTube without sitting next to him. Do you know what kind of things he can find on there?" And at that time, I hadn't even thought about it. I mean, now I understand because of so many conversations like this, but I remember being shocked and thinking, no, I don't know what kind of bad things you can find on YouTube. Oh my goodness, I better sit next to him. So then from that point forward, we understood that it was important to be very careful and monitor him and sit with him when he watched these these innocent trains pulling into the station, because one click to the next will get you into a rabbit hole that you don't even want to go to. And an innocent child doesn't know. They're just clicking the next buttons and they don't even know. So it is really important to keep learning about what's new out there and be aware of what we need to monitor. And I think GAFPA is going to be a wonderful tool for parents and families to take just one more step in keeping their kids safe online. So this is really exciting. So Bill, I think we've had an amazing conversation, which has hopefully opened the eyes of parents and equipped them with some interesting ideas for keeping their kids safe online. Do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share with my listeners today?
Yes, I think the most important things we covered today is to be there with your children when they're online, to protect them. Don't worry about invading your teenager's privacy when you put tracking software on their phone to see where they've been, where they're going, what they've seen, because it's important that they are protected. And you're not invading their privacy. You're actually creating a bubble around them so that you can protect them when they go off track. And they will. They will go off track.
They all do.
They all do. And some of the software is, they don't know it's there. And some of the times people will want to say, well, I want to tell them that it's there. Well, if you do that, then they're going to go to someone else's phone or someone else's computer. We want to know what they're doing. We want them to tell us. We want to be open with us and, you know, open with them to have them open with us and to share with them what's important, why we're doing this, and to create a scenario that they think it's important as well to tell us things.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. I love it. So, Bill, thank you so much for spending this time with me today and sharing your expertise. I think that we've brought some real value to my listeners. And where can they find out more about you and GAFPA if they would like more information?
They can go to GAFPA.com. And we are also creating a video on demand site that'll be ready very soon for programs like yours and others that that are very important in today's society. We are a secure website. We don't give out private information. We make sure that everything is wholesome, and you know, there is no bad stuff on our site. So we want to make sure that everything we do is in a positive, empowering light.
That sounds like a gift to the world. I love it.
Yes. And if you want to talk to me personally, you can email me at bill@gafpa.com anytime.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much, Bill, for sharing this time with me and for your knowledge and expertise in helping us parents to raise these kiddos, because it certainly takes a village.
Well, I think what you're doing is very important, Aaron, and I think you're very good at it. So keep on.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. All right, that wraps up today's episode. Wherever you are in this world, I hope that you make it a very informed day for yourself. That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to aaron@aaron-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.